إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will begin the new book that we will take for study in the weeks that remain up until Ramadan. And this book is very important, yani, essay or risala of one of the great scholars of this time, which we think is yani, of utmost importance, the topic that he has dealt with. And it is entitled Risala fi al-hath ala ijtima kalimat al-muslimin wa dham al-tafarruq wal-ikhtilaf. And al-hath, yani encouragement upon yani ijtima kalimat al-muslimin, yani uniting the word of the Muslims, making their word one, making our stance, our position one, being united. With them, yani, criticizing, dispraising, disparaging, rejecting at-tafarruq wal-ikhtilaf, yani, dividing ourselves up, separating from one another, and differing. And this is, yani, a very brief essay that was written by the Shaykh Al-Allama Abdurrahman Ibn Nasir, Ibn Abdullah Ibn Nasir Al-Sa'adi, Rahimahullah Rahmatan Wasi'a. And yani, the Shaykh, he has made a general introduction to the importance of this topic, of the Muslims being united, their word and their position and their stance being one, and the rejection or the criticism and disparaging or dispraising of dividing and splitting and differing with one another. He has yani opened the risala, or he has begun it by showing the importance of this, yani how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be united, and He has prohibited us from separating and splitting up and dividing and differing with one another. And after this, he follows it yani with a chapter showing the harms and the evils of separation and division and differing. And he follows it with a chapter showing yani the benefits of uniting and being in agreement and working together and cooperating in piety and righteousness. And after this, yani he writes a chapter showing yani the importance and the encouragement of working towards the unity of the Muslims and bringing them together. And this book, as you will see, and it contains a lot of benefits. And tonight, inshallah, we'd like to introduce the book. But before that, we want to introduce the author of the book. And this is from the perspective of understanding that this knowledge is deen. And it is from the way of the Salaf of this Ummah that we be careful who we take our deen from. Meaning we be careful who we take our knowledge from, since knowledge is deen. So we want to know something about the author. Perhaps many of us may already know yani something about the Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi, and some people may not know much about him. So tonight, inshallah, we want to give some detail. Well, not detail really, but we want to give some details of the, in brief though, of the life of the Shaykh, and so we can understand the status of this great scholar and his position amongst the scholars, his rank amongst the scholars, and the importance of that which he has written. So we want to begin with an introduction, ta'rif, of the author himself, rahimahullah, as I said, yani some details, but a summarized yani version of the biography of the author, which I have yani compiled some years ago, maybe 12 or 15 years ago, when we were doing the book At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajarat al-Iman, yani one of the most important books of the Shaykh, yani which is known today as yani the Tree of Faith, yani the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith, in which he deals with the importance of the subject of Iman, the things that Iman is composed of, and those things which strengthen it, and so on, the benefits and fruits of Iman. Very, very important book. Yani if someone hasn't read it, then it definitely yani is a must that you read it. The Tree of Faith, Shajaratul Iman. So in any case, this biography, as I said, was compiled some years ago. But yani, alhamdulillah, after I looked through it, I saw that it is appropriate and we can use it again. So we start with, and inshallah we will yani make it available yani in the next couple of days, inshallah, for the those who we have your email on our mailing list for the class. And we begin by mentioning his name. He is a Shaykh Al-Alama Abu Abdullah or Abu Abdullah. Yani his kunya is Abu Abdullah. And his first name, Abdurrahman, the son of Nasir. The son of Abdullah, the son of Nasir. Ali Sa'adi. Yani Abu Abdullah, Abdurrahman ibn Nasir, ibn Abdullah ibn Nasir, Ali Sa'adi. From the tribe of Tamim. And he was born in the city of Unayza, Al-Qasim, northwest of Riyadh, on the 12th of Muharram, in the year 1307 AH, yani after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we read through this biography, I'm going to stop a couple of times and make some points just for us to reflect upon, so that yani we get the benefit of not just knowing about the Shaykh, but also lessons from his life that are extremely beneficial. Tayyib. His mother died when he was 4 years old. Naam. Then his father died when he was 7 years old. And here I stop just for a moment to yani reflect on the fact that this great scholar yani didn't grow up with his parents. By the time he was 7 years old, he had lost his mother and his father. Therefore, he was raised as an orphan. However, he was raised well and attracted attention at an early age due to his intelligence and intense desire for knowledge. And here, I want to note, those of us who have young children, pay attention to your children. If you see in them the signs of khair, yani of being eager to learn, to memorize the Quran, to practice the deen, give care to them. Don't neglect your children. It was because, as a young orphan child, somebody paid attention to him and realized that this man was special, that he was very intelligent, and he had a desire for knowledge. And some of our children may be very intelligent, and they may have a desire for knowledge, but because we neglected them, they didn't achieve. He completed the reading of Al-Quran after his father's death. And his father died when he was how old? 7. He completed the reading of Quran, yani reading through the Quran, proper reading of the Quran, after his father's death. And then memorized it by heart, with proficiency, at the age of 11. So how many of our children have memorized the entire Quran, with proficiency, by the age of 11? That's not, yani, something, yani, ba'id. It's not that far-fetched. It's possible. Naam, it's possible, it's very possible. If we give them the care and the attention and the facility that they need in order to learn. He completed the memorization of the Quran by heart with proficiency at the age of 11. Afterwards, yani after completing the memorization of the Quran at the age of 11, how many of us have children 10 or 11 years old? Look at our children and think about what is being said here. 11 years old. At the age of 11, he completed the Quran. Afterwards, he busied himself with seeking knowledge from the scholars of his land and those who visited it at the age of 11. He exerted every effort and applied himself with diligence until he achieved an abundant share in each of the fields of Islamic knowledge. He applied himself and he went after it. He, yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said, احرس على ما ينفعك. Diligently, eagerly seek that which is of benefit. When he reached the age of 23, yani, he completed the memorization of the Quran with proficiency at the age of 11, and 12 years later, when he reached the age of 23, after seeking knowledge from the scholars of his land and those who visited it, after completing the Quran, 12 years later, at the age of 23, he began to teach. Yani, a teacher, a person who's teaching the people Islam at the age of 23. Think about when you were 23. Maybe some of you haven't reached 23 yet, or some of you just passed 23. Think about this. At the age of 23, he was already teaching the people. He was a teacher. Hence, he was learning and teaching at the same time, spending all of his time with knowledge. No distractions, television, music, whatever, I don't know. The people are video, Allahu musta'an. Our children are addicted to videos, video games, day and night, everywhere. They have no shame, and we have no shame. And we're not even shamed by them, coming in the masjid playing with video games. Going to school playing with video games, every place they go. And some adults also, not to mention. He occupied himself with knowledge, spending all of his time with knowledge. This went on until the year 1350. How old was he in 1350? 43. Naam. He was born in 1307. By 1350, he was 43 years old. And he started teaching at 23, and 20 years later, at the age of 43 in the year 1358, he became the main reference for learning in his city, the object of trust and dependence in learning for all of those who sought knowledge. Yani, everybody in the city of Unayza who sought knowledge, he was the main reference. He was the person that they trusted. He was the person that they depended upon by the age of 43. So how many of us are 43 now? And where are we at? Naam. As far as his teachers, he has learned from Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Hamid ibn Jasir, rahimahullah, who was the first of his teachers. The author, that is Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, used to describe his Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Hamid ibn Jasir, as having memorized the hadith. The hadith, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He described him as having memorized the hadith, as well as he described him with piety and love for the poor. Yani, the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, his first teacher was a person of piety who had love for the poor. Yani, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also studied with Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Karim ibn Shibl, with whom he studied fiqh, jurisprudence, and various aspects of Arabic language. He also studied with Shaykh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi, the Qadi of Unayza. And he's the chief judge of Unayza, Sheikh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi, with whom he studied Tawheed, Tafsir, Fiqh, yani its fundamentals and its branches, the Usul of Fiqh and the Furu' of Fiqh, as well as the fields of, again, Arabic language. Arabic language is important. Tafsir, Tawheed, Fiqh, Arabic language. Sheikh Salih, that is, Sheikh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi, was the sheikh with whom the author has studied the most, and his main teacher. In fact, the author accompanied him, and he accompanied Sheikh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi full time until he died, rahimahullah. And until the sheikh died, he stayed with him, and he studied with him full time. Similar to the case of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di's student, who stayed with him full time until he died. Who was that? Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Naam. Sheikh al-Uthaymeen had his parents living, but when his parents moved from Riyadh when he was a teenager, he was separated from his parents. How was he separated? The Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi told Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen's parents, Muhammad is staying here with me. He kept him. Naam. Because he saw in him intelligence and eagerness to learn. As somebody saw in him, he saw it in him. The same thing. Subhanallah. His other teachers included Sheikh Abdullah ibn Iyad, Sheikh Sab al-Tawajiri, Sheikh Ali al-Sinani, Sheikh Ali al-Nasr, with whom he studied hadith, including, but not limited to, al-Ummahat al-Sitta, yani the six main books of hadith. He studied them in addition to other books, for which he had been given an ijazah, that is permission to teach them. His teachers also included one of the great, yani included Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Muhammad al-Mani, and the Sheikh Muhammad al-Shanqiti, the great scholar of this era of tafsir, rahimahumullah. And that was when Sheikh Muhammad, al-Shanqiti visited Unayza for the purpose of teaching. And the Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi studied with him al-Tafsir, al-Hadith, and al-Mustalah, yani the Hadith technical terms, and the various fields of Arabic language. Naam, such as Nahu and Sarf, etc. Some people think that the Arabic language is not that important. Rather, it is critical, it is a foundation for a person to learn. The character and manners of the author. The character and manners of the author. And this is, in my view, of the utmost importance. Yani, it's not so much how much knowledge a person has accumulated, but whether or not they apply it. And that is reflected in a person's character, in their manners, in their worship, in their dealing with the people. He was characterized as having reached a high degree of noble manners. Would that we would be characterized by someone as having reached a high degree of noble manners. He was humble with the young and the old, with the rich and the poor. And he used to spend some of his time in meeting with those who desired his presence. Yani the people invited him and he came, transforming their ordinary meetings into gatherings of worship and circles of knowledge. Yani wherever he went, his attention was given to what? Yani worship and learning. He would address each person with that which was appropriate for him. Paying attention to who you're talking to. Pay attention to who you're talking to. Not everybody is addressed the same way. You have to look at a person and see where they're at in order to benefit them. He used to address each person with that which was appropriate for him and discuss with him that which would be of benefit to him in this world and in the hereafter. Often he would solve the problems between people with a just agreement that would please both sides. Not leaning to one side or the other. Not favoring one side or the other. But a just agreement. When people had disputes, he used to attend to this and bring about a just agreement with which both sides would be pleased. He was compassionate to the poor and needy, as well as strangers. He was compassionate. And where is the compassion today? Amongst any of the people. But more blameworthy is the person of knowledge who doesn't have compassion because they're supposed to know better. Maybe the other people can say we didn't know any better. What do the people of knowledge say? He was compassionate to the poor and needy, as well as to strangers, to whom he would extend a helping hand within his means. And whatever he had, he would give, as well as seeking for them the sympathy of the charitable people whom he knew had love for doing good to others. And if he couldn't help himself, then he would bring their case to the people that he knew loved to help, to give charity. He was the best of people in his manner of teaching, and the most effective in making the people understand, as well as being very organized in arranging the times for teaching. He would set up debates between his students who had achieved a high level of knowledge in order to sharpen their minds. He used to offer a prize for whoever would memorize certain mutun, yani texts of various Islamic sciences, And everyone who memorized it would be given a prize. No one being denied. Yani everybody who completed it, yani whoever was the best or the less, everybody would receive a prize. As encouragement. He would consult with his students concerning the selection of the most beneficial books for study. And he would give preference to that which was desired by the majority, while he himself would make the final decision if they were equal, that is, if there was no majority preference. The students would not be bored from sitting too long if he prolonged his teaching, since they used to enjoy immensely sitting with him. For this reason, he had and still has a large number of students who achieved high levels of knowledge. May Allah make his life pleasurable and bless him and us in our time, and grant us and him provisions from al-baqiyat as-salihat, the righteous deeds which remain. The author's status in knowledge. He was highly proficient in fiqh. Naam. In fact, I think in this tafsir, his tafsir, there's an introduction to it where it is mentioned that yani one ayah in the Quran dealing with al-wudu, that he derived from that ayat more than 50 points of benefit from one ayah of the Quran. Yani he was highly proficient in fiqh. Its usul, the fundamentals, and its furu', the branches. In the beginning, he was sticking to the Hanbali madhab, following his teachers. Yani that's what they were upon. Hence, he memorized some of the mutun, yani the texts, from the madhab, of the Hanbali madhab. In fact, early on, he authored a work of fiqh, which consisted of about 400 lines of poetry, along with a brief explanation. However, he did not desire to publish it, since it was based upon his early views, yani when he was a very young man. Most of his preoccupation and most of his benefit in learning was from the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and his student, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahumullah. Indeed, he gained a tremendous amount of khair, good, as a result of these two great scholars in the sciences of usul, yani the fundamentals of the deen, that is al-aqidah, as well as tawheed, tafsir, fiqh, and other beneficial sciences. As a result of his enlightenment through the books of the two mentioned scholars, that is Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he was no longer confined to the Hanbali madhab. Rather, he began to give precedence to that which he viewed as having the stronger dalil shar'i, yani that which had the stronger legal evidence from the sharia. He would not criticize the scholars of the madhahib. He would not criticize the scholars of the madhahib, that is the four schools of jurisprudence, as some of the foolish do today. May Allah guide us and them to that which is correct and the clear path. Meaning that even though a person might not blindly follow a madhahib, it doesn't mean that the door is open to criticize the scholars of the madhahib. He had attained much, that is a high degree of proficiency in tafsir, having read thoroughly a number of books of tafsir, and had excelled in it. He has authored an illustrious book of tafsir, composed of a number of volumes, which he explained spontaneously, without having the time to author a book of tafsir or any other subject. Meaning that yani the Shaykh, he didn't sit down and write the tafsir, rather, he just used to explain the Quran to his students, and they wrote it down. He was always reading the Noble Quran with the students, and he would explain it spontaneously. He would make clear the meanings of the Quran and its points of benefit. Yani the Quran is not intended just to be read as you read a newspaper. Rather, a person has to stop and reflect and contemplate and try to derive the benefits and the points and the wisdom and the instruction and the encouragement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended in these ayat of the Quran. He would draw out unique points and splendid meanings such that the listener would hope that he would not stop due to the excellence of his language and expressions and the extensiveness of the evidences and the related incidences that he would present. whoever met him, studied and researched with him, knew his level of scholarship, just like those who read his books and fatawa, yani today. And finally, some of the author's writings. Yani the Sheikh has written a lot of books. And I modified a little bit what I wrote here concerning his books, because in the original biography of the Sheikh, I just mentioned Arabic books. But here I have included, since that time, a lot of his books have been translated into English, so I included some English books that have been translated from the Sheikh. First, from the Arabic books, and the first book that I want to mention is Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman fi Tafsir Kalam al-Mannan. This book of Tafsir here is in one volume. It's also printed in two volumes, and with a bigger font print. And it's also printed in five volumes with a very nice size print that's very, very easy to read. And this is a tremendous book, yani of Tafsir, which I believe is indeed one of the best books of Tafsir that a person can read, especially if a person wants to, yani, skip over the technical differences and arguments and get right to the core meanings and how they apply to one in your life. Practical Tafsir of the Quran. Yani he explains the meanings of the Quran as it was explained by the Salaf, but he also gives it in a simple, easy way that a person can apply to their own life. This Tafsir has an introduction by Fadilat Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, one of the great scholars from the students of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, and it also contains an introduction by our Sheikh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And he too, of the most famous and the greatest of the two of the greatest of the students of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, and both of them wrote an introduction to this tafsir, or this printing of it. So this is from the most important of his books, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman fi Tafsir Kalam al-Manan. And the Sheikh also has another tafsir, Taysir al-Latif al-Manan fi Khulasat al-Tafsir al-Quran. And it is mentioned that some of these books the Sheikh published and printed at his own expense, and sometimes other people donated towards it, and he used to distribute all of his books free. And then there are a number of other books out, yani for the sake of time, from the English books that have been translated by the Sheikh, yani At-Tawdih wal-Bayan that I referred to earlier, yani Li-Shajratul Iman, The Tree of Faith, tremendous, very, very important book. Explanation of the beautiful and perfect names of Allah, yani the Sharh of the Asma Allah al-Husna, which is also a small book, about 112 pages. Logical Proofs for the Oneness, the Tawheed, the Oneness and Perfection of Allah, 73 pages in English. Perfect Solutions from the Quran for Some of the World's Greatest Problems, 132 pages in English. Quranic Evidences Attesting to the Fact that Contemporary Beneficial Works and Sciences Fall Under the Religion of Islam, 119 pages in the translation of English. And there are a lot of other books. I just mentioned some, and just to be aware of some of his books that are also available in English. The Sheikh has, to his credit, many beneficial works and fatawa, legal rulings, concerning questions that came to him from those in his land and in other lands, which he would answer. He also has numerous ta'liqat, explanatory remarks, related to many of the books which he has gone through, as he used to explain those books. Writing was extremely easy for him, and as a result, he has produced a large body of fatawa and other writings. And this we close with his objective in writing, and this is indeed a true lesson, yani a lesson for every one of us to consider in life, the intention behind his writing. And this is should be in everything, but especially yani in reference to knowledge. The Sheikh, it is said that his intention behind his writing was to spread the ilm, the knowledge, and to call to the haq, the truth. And his intention in writing was to spread the knowledge and call people to the truth. And it wasn't to make himself famous, it wasn't to make money, it wasn't to whatever, it was for what? To spread the knowledge, to share the knowledge, and call people to that which is the haq. It is for this reason that he wrote and published as many works as he was able to produce, while not receiving any transitory, short-lived benefit, yani like money, nor any worldly gain. And he wrote a lot of books, and he didn't receive anything of worldly compensation for them. Rather, he would distribute his works free of charge in order that more people benefit from them. May Allah the Most High reward him with khair for what he has contributed towards the spread of Islam and to benefit the Muslims. May Allah grant us success in that which is pleasing to him. After a long life that lasted nearly 69 years in the service of al-ilm, the knowledge, he returned to his Rabb in the year 1376. And he was born in the year what? 1307, and he died in the year 1376. I think 1 year before Al-Hafiz Al-Hakami, because they lived in the same time and died like 1 year apart. In the city of Unayza, and he died in the year 1376 in the city of Unayza, Qasim, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, may Allah shower him with his vast mercy. And this is a brief biography of the Shaykh to show us the status, the station, the position of this great scholar, who we are about to study this important topic from this great scholar, yani who is recognized all over the world today, especially by the people of Sunnah. Yani, at this point, I'd like to take the few minutes that's remaining and look briefly at the introduction to the book by one of his students, yani who wrote one of the introductions to his tafsir, that is Fadilat al-Shaykh al-Allama Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Aqil, Ali Aqil. Shaykh al-Allama Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Aqil, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. And the Shaykh writes a brief introduction of utmost importance, in which he gives us a brief description of the book and the importance of it. And this should be read with care, should be read with care. And in the introduction to the book, the Shaykh Abdullah ibn Aqil, he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al insan ma lam ya'alam. Yani, praise be to Allah, the one who was taught by the pen, who was taught man that which he did not know. Yani, this is from the Quran. Yani, the expression, right, came directly from the Quran. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Na'am. Yani, the Shaykh is saying, so what? So he's praying, yani, that the salat of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family, his companions, and the blessings of Allah and peace and safety and security. After this, he said, فَلَا تَزَالُ فَوَائِدْ شَيْخِنَا الْعَلَّامَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ نَاصِرِ السَّعْدِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ تَتَجَدَّدُ حَتَّى بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ فَلَا تَزَالُ. Yani, the benefits from our Shaykh al-Allama Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, yani, continue. Yani, tatajaddadu, yani, they are revived, yani, as though it is brought back new again. After some time, maybe, nobody didn't read this book or see it, and somebody came and took the manuscript and, yani, printed it and distributed it to the people. Yani, the benefits from the Shaykh, even now, hatta ba'da wafati, after his death, yani, are being revived, being brought back anew. وذلك مما يخرج بين الفينة والأخرى. يعني from time to time. يعني that which is brought out from time to time من رسائله وكتبه المحتوية على الفوائد الثمينة والنصائح السديدة. يعني this is because of the fact that from time to time some of his رسائل, his essays or his books, yani, are brought forth. Some people are bringing them out, yani, reprinting them and making them available. And these books, he said, they contain, yani, fawaid thamina, precious, valuable benefits. Wa nasaih as-sadida, yani, correct, accurate, yani, advices that go right to the point, that hit the mark. Naam, advices that are right on point. وَكَانَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ نِعْمْ الْمُعَلِّمِ النَّاصِحِ وَالْمُرَبِّ الصَّالِحِ. And here the Shaykh, yani Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Aqil, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, he died just a few years ago. He says that the Shaykh, he's talking about his teacher, كَانَ نِعْمَ الْمُعَلِّمِ النَّاصِحِ. Yani, he was an excellent, blessed, yani, teacher, advisor. A teacher, al-mu'allim al-nasih, who used to advise his students, yani, he used to counsel them with good advice. Wal-murabbi al-salih, and a righteous murabbi. Yani, murabbi is one who nurtures, who raises, like a parent, like a mother raises their children, a murabbi, yani one who nurtures someone, yani brings them up, raises them, educates them. But more than just education, yani murabbi is the one who cares for, attends to, and nurtures someone. And here he was, he said what? Al-murabbi as-salih, a righteous murabbi. Yani he wasn't just advising those who studied with him, but he himself was the example of what he was calling them to. وَهَا هُوَ فِي هَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ الْمُمْتِعَةِ الصَّغِيرَةِ فِي مُحْتَوَاهَا الْغَزِيرَةِ فِي مَعْنَاهَا. يعني here in this risala, this يعني enjoyable, delightful essay, which is small in its size, but it is abundant in its meaning. Here, he يوجه النصيحة لعلماء المسلمين وأوامهم. يعني here he is directing advice to the scholars of the Muslims and the common people, the awam. And تتفق كلماتهم وتجتمع قلوبهم معتصمين بحبل الله جميعا. يعني here he is advising the scholars and the people to make their kalima, to be in agreement, tattafiq, to harmonize. Yani that their word be one, that their message be one, that they be in agreement, that their position and their view, yani be united. Tattafiq kalimatuhum, that they be one. Watajtami'a qulubuhum, and their hearts be joined together. Based on what? Mu'tasimina bihablillahi jami'an. Yani holding tight to the rope of Allah all together. And this is, yani this expression is taken, and this idea is taken, the theme of this book is taken from the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 103rd ayat, naam. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after addressing the believers, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Yani hold fast to the rope of Allah, and do not be divided, do not separate and split up into groups. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَى فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. This ayat, tremendous ayat, and I think last year in Ramadan we may have discussed it in some detail, but we can't pass by without mentioning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember, yani hold fast to the rope of Allah all together and be not divided, and remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and Allah tied your hearts together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't forget, remember the faith, this was a ni'mah from Allah, that you were enemies of one another and He tied your hearts together. Hearts. This is not physical unity, this is real unity. The hearts being tied together by the ni'mah of Allah, so that you became bini'matillahi ikhwana, brothers by the favor of Allah. And this is a ni'mah of Allah that we are brothers in Islam, and whoever tears up that brotherhood and separates the Muslims and cause division and dissension and disputing and arguing and differing, they are negating, nullifying, destroying the ni'mah of Allah that He has given to us, of brotherhood. Pay attention to this. The Shaykh said, he is directing this advice to the scholars and the common people, that they be united, that their word be united and in agreement, and their hearts be tied together. But based on what? Holding on to the rope of Allah altogether. Not just based on unity for the sake of unity, but based on holding to the rope of Allah, yani the deen of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. مُحَذِّرًا لَهُمْ مِنَ الْفِرْقَ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ. And warning them, yani warning the scholars and the common people from splitting up and separating. And ikhtilaf, differing, this splitting, and this separating, this ikhtilaf, this differing, al-mu'addi ila tashahun, wal-qati'a wal-baghdha. Yani this differing that has become widespread today is that which leads to quarreling amongst the Muslims, and cutting the ties of relations, and mutual hatred and enmity for one another. This is what it leads to, differing. وقد بين رحمه الله مكانة العلماء العاملين في الأمة الإسلامية وحاجة المسلمين لهم وماذا يجب على الناس تجاههم من المحبة والتقدير والمعرفة حقهم وتنزيلهم المنزلة اللائقة بهم. And here the Shaykh, he says, يعني this is the introduction to the book. He's saying that the Shaykh has made clear, بينا مكانة العلماء العاملين في الأمة الإسلامية. He has made clear the status, the station, the high station of the ulama who act upon the knowledge in the Ummah of Islam. And he has made clear not only their status, but hajatul muslimin lahum, the need of the Muslims to the scholars. Some people think they don't need the scholars. And he has made clear in this essay our need for the scholars, their status, and that we indeed are in need of them. We are in need of them. And he has made clear that need here. And what is obligatory upon the people towards, in reference to the scholars, what is obligatory upon us of al-mahabba, loving them, and taqdeer, holding them in high respect, and ma'arifat haqqihim, and recognizing their rights, recognizing the rights of the scholars, the real scholars. And whoever doesn't know the status of the scholars, and our need for them, and their rights over us, that person is lost. And the necessity of tanzilihim al-manzila al-la'iqa bihim, yani the necessity of putting them in the place, in their station, recognizing the status that is suitable for them, that they are worthy of. وَلَمْ يَنْسَى رَحِيمَهَا اللَّهُ. And he didn't forget tawjih and nus لِتُلَّابُ الْعِلْمِ. And he didn't forget التوجيح, يعني giving advice and direction to the students of knowledge. وَتَحْذِيرَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّدِيئَةِ وَالصِّفَاتِ الذَّمِيمَةِ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ الْمَنْثُورَةِ فِي ثَنَايَا هَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ. يعني, and again, I emphasize this point, the Shaykh, he didn't forget to give advice and direction to the students of knowledge and warn them from الأخلاق الرَّدِيئَةِ, يعني low, despicable character. Yani cheating, lying, slandering, backbiting, deception, corruption. Warning the students from this type of character. Was sifat al-dhamima, blameworthy characteristics. Naam. And other than that, from the benefits that are spread throughout this essay. And we have a few minutes before the adhan. Inshallah, after the adhan, we'll just take some of the minutes up until the iqama to complete what we have for tonight, inshallah. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ اَعْتَنَى فَضِيلَةِ الشَّيْخ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ زَيْدِ إِبْنِ مُسَلَّمِ عَلِي مُسَلَّمِ بِهَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ مُقَابِلَةً وَتَحْقِيقًا. يعني he said that here, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, he is saying that the Shaykh who brought this essay to us, who checked the manuscripts and had it printed and distributed, he said he has given great care. Shaykh Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Musallam Ali Musallam, he has given great care to this risala in comparing it, comparing the transcript, the manuscripts, and tahqiqan, and giving care to checking it carefully to make sure that it's reproduced accurately. Ma dammi hawashi mufida dammanaha kalaman lil muallif. And he also has added to it, in the footnotes, some beneficial footnotes, which include speech from the author that he has, istakhlasaha, he has istakhlasahu, he has what? Has derived or taking out from other books of the Shaykh. He has taken from other books some points of benefit that he put in the footnotes that are connected to the subject. فَجَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا عَلَىٰ إِنَايَتِهِ بِهَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ. May Allah reward him with good for the care that he has given to this essay. And in closing, the Shaykh, he says, and this is tremendous, and again I say the time for the adhan is very close, but he says, وَإِنِّي أُوصِي إِخْوَانِي وَأَبْنَائِي الطُّلَّابُ وَعُمُومَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِقِرَاءَةِ هَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ وَالِاسْتِفَادَةِ مِنْ مَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ مِنْ تِلْكَ النَّصَائِحِ وَالتَّوْجِيهَاتِ دَاعِينَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِهَا مَنْ كَتَبَهَا أَوْ قَرَأَهَا أَوْ سَمِعَهَا أَوْ اسْتَفَادَ مِنْهَا. And the Shaykh closes saying, and I advise my brothers, my sons, meaning the young people, from amongst the students and the common people from the Muslims, I advise them بقراءة هذه الرسالة, to read this essay, والاستفادة مما تضمنته من تلك النصائح والتوجيهات, and to benefit from what it contains of advices and instructions. And I call on Allah the Most High to benefit through it, whoever reads it, and whoever wrote it, yani whoever wrote this out, the one who wrote it, and yani whoever reads it, and whoever heard it, yani listened to it being read, and whoever benefited from it. Yani I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit the one who wrote it, and the one who read it, and the one who listens to it being read, and everyone who benefits from it. And this was written, he's making it there? And this was written by Al-Faqir. He called himself the one who is in need of Allah, Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, the Ra'is Al-Hayya Al-Da'ima bi Majlis Al-Qadha Al-A'la Sabikan. And he was the head of the permanent committee of the Supreme Judiciary Council of Saudi Arabia in the past. And he has passed away now. And he said, he closes praising Allah and asking for salat and salam upon his Abd and his Rasul Muhammad and his family and his companions, all of them. And what remains is the introduction by the muhaqqiq, yani the one who checked the manuscripts and had the book reprinted and published for distribution. Brief introduction to the book that we'll read quickly. But I want to mention here that yani the introduction that we just read is from Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, one of the foremost students of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. And as I said, he also has written an introduction to his tafsir, along with an introduction by yani the most famous student of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And I also want to mention a third student of the Sheikh who yani is dear to my heart, the author of Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, a tremendous book, yani of the collection of hadith of ahkam from Bukhari and Muslim, and Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, and he wrote an explanation of that book that is of great, tremendous value, and he has also written explanations of Bulugh al-Maram and other books like this of ahkam. And these are three, yani of the great students of yani Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, who all of them went on themselves to excel as distinguished scholars that the people benefited from tremendously from their teaching and their writings and so on, from their character and their manners. And hopefully, yani, these kinds of students yani should be an example for the people of today, that if anybody had a chance to study with a scholar in Mecca, in Medina, in Yemen, in Egypt, or wherever it may be that they went, that yani, they don't represent their teacher unless they yani manifest the qualities that the teacher manifested, in terms of not just knowledge, but in terms of ibadah, worship, and akhlaq, character, and adab, manners, and da'wah. And all of this, yani it's not just accumulation of information, but it is exemplifying that which they learned from the Shaykh. And just as a note, yani 1 year ago, 2 days ago, and a year, yani one of our teachers, our beloved teachers, Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya, passed away. And you know, I'm reminded yani of that. It was 1 year ago. May Allah have mercy upon him. The introduction of the muhaqqiq, he begins by praising Allah and seeking help from Allah, seeking forgiveness from Allah, seeking refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. And whoever Allah guides, then he will not be led astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, then he will not be guided. And bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners. And bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. And may the blessings, the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions, all of them, yani plentifully, amma ba'd. He said, this is a, yani durra nafisa, a priceless, precious pearl. Yani this essay, a risala farida, a unique essay or treatise that has been written by the pen of a sheikh al-faqir al-mufassir. Yani the sheikh I'm sorry, al-faqih, the scholar of fiqh, al-mufassir, the scholar of tafsir, Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, muwajjihan al-nasiha fiha li'umum al-umma, wa haffan laha ala ijtima kalimatiha, wa muhadhiran laha min al-tafarruq wal-ikhtilaf al-muaddi ila al-tashahun wal-baghdha. Yani, this essay, this priceless, precious essay, yani this unique essay, has been written by the Shaykh directing advice to the Ummah in general and encouraging them to unite their word and warning them against separating and splitting and dividing and differing that leads to quarreling and disputing and hatred. And oh, how we have seen it today. Yani, the differing, the separating of people from one group from another, and differing between one brother and another, that led to quarreling and feuding and disputing and mutual hatred. And we find the people of the Sunnah today, you can hardly find one brother who loves another brother who's upon the Sunnah. Rather, if you are not from his party, his group, his hizb, then there's no love for you. This is what the Shaykh is warning us against. This is what the Prophet ﷺ warned us against. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against. Beware of people who call to separation and division and splitting and differing. This is contrary to the Quran and the Sunnah. These people have polluted the minds and hearts of the people. They are really enemies of Islam in the disguise of being yani people of Sunnah. Naam. That's clear to whoever has eyes to see. The Ummah of Islam, he said today, is in great need of coming together, they're being joined together, their affair being joined together, being united, and mending the cracks that have broken up the unity of the Muslims, and distancing themselves, yani completely from the hizbiyat, yani the hizbiyat, meaning the people who, yani they only have love for their party, partisanship, and the tarashiq, yani the people who are throwing, hurling kalimat, words at others, wahtiham and niyat, and accusing, yani questioning the intentions of other people as though they know what's in somebody's heart. Allahu musta'an. Yani, he's saying what? That we are in need of coming together, of uniting and distancing ourselves from this partisanship, and yani hurling words, yani evil words against one another, and questioning, yani doubting, making false accusations of what somebody's intention is. And the Shaykh says, Madama أن الجميع تحت مذلة أهل السنة والجماعة يفقون أثر السلف الأمة أهل القرون المفضلة يتبعون ولا يبتدعون ولا يبتدعون. And he's saying that we have to avoid these things. As long as all of us are under the umbrella of أهل السنة والجماعة, as long as all of us are following the footsteps of the Salaf of this Ummah, yani the preferred generations, the virtuous generations of the Muslims, as long as we are following and not innovating. And this is a very important point. Please don't let this pass you by. Yani, as long as we are all under the umbrella of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, following the footsteps, the traces, the tracks of the Salaf of this Ummah, not inventing, but rather following in the footsteps of the early generations of the Muslims. And the Shaykh, he says, وَأَحْسَبُ أَنَّ الشَّيْخَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنَ السَّعَدِي وَهُوَ مُتَوَفِّي عَامٍ يعني 1376, he said, and I believe that the Shaykh Abdul Rahman, who died in the year 1376, I believe that he had قَدْ وَضَعَ النِّقَاطْ عَلَى الْحُرُوفِ, yani he has made, yani he put the dots on the letters, meaning he made the matter crystal clear in this risala. He made the matter crystal clear. If you have doubt from what you've been hearing, the Shaykh, he has made it crystal clear. What is the position of Islam concerning the unity of the Muslims and avoiding, yani disparaging, blaming, criticizing, rejecting separation and division and differing? He has made it crystal clear in this risala. May Allah have mercy upon him, and his vast mercy, may he spread it upon him, and may he reward him generously. And he said, so I have, taking the responsibility of giving care to this risala and distributing it so that the benefit, will be general, be shared by the people in general, by the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we ask Allah, وَاللَّهَ أَسْأَلُ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ وَالسَّدَادِ And I ask Allah that He grant us ikhlas, sincerity in speech and in action. We should make this dua. We should ask Allah that He grant us sincerity in speech and in action. And that He grant us التَّوْفِيق وَالسَّدَادِ, that He give us success, meaning the ability to act upon that which is right. And the sadad, that we hit the mark, that we actually stand upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he closed by saying, "Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam." Written by Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Musallam, Ali Musallam, in the year 1328 in Riyadh. And the Shaykh also made a note. He said that I have read this risala to Fadilat al-Shaykh al-Allama Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, who wrote the introduction, Hafidhahullah wa Ra'ahu, may Allah have mercy upon him. He has passed away now. At that time he was still living on the day of Jumu'ah, in the year 1428, in the presence of Fadilat al-Shaykh al-Doktor Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qusayr, Hafidhahullah. And the Shaykh, he said that he read the risala to Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdulaziz ibn Aqil, to confirm its content before he published it. Okay, we will stop here, and next week, inshallah, we'll actually go into the main content of the book. It's close to the time for the ikama right now. If there's any question about 1 minute, if there's any question about something that was said that's not clear, anything that we said that's not clear, okay. What I want to say now is that after the salat, the brothers have given out Arabic copies of the book. This is a new book that was recently published. We only paid $6 for it. $6 is not a lot of money. We encourage, we gave it to those students who had excellent attendance last week in our dinner, right? And if somebody didn't get a copy, we encourage you to buy the book. Okay, it's a new book that was recently published. We don't want to hurt the people who published it. We encourage you to buy the book. But if you can't, then we do have some copies, some photocopies. If somebody would like to, take a copy. But don't take a copy of it unless, you intend to be present. We're going to be in this class for the next 6 or 7 weeks. If you intend to be present, then take a copy. Otherwise, leave it for somebody who's going to attend the class. So after the salat, if somebody needs a copy, who didn't get a copy before, somebody needs a free copy, inshallah, may Allah bless those brothers, may Allah reward them generously, who have taken the time and spent their time and effort and energy and money to make some copies for us in Arabic and copies for us in English. And as I said, after the salat, inshallah, if somebody didn't get a copy and they're in need of it, then inshallah, we'll give it to those who have intent, sincere intent in front of Allah to attend the class, then only because we don't have enough copies for everybody. Otherwise, we'll give it to everybody, whether you intend to attend the class or not. And that's not a condition. But if somebody's going to attend the class and they don't have a copy, and you're not going to attend the class, then it doesn't make sense for you to take the copy that somebody's going to need who's going to be in attendance. Okay, so after the salat, inshallah, whoever needs a copy, they can see Nadir or Abu Jamil. Now I'll give it back to you. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu.